is Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi.
Am I the only one who feels like Barry Morphew should have like theme music behind him on the things that he does and the predicaments that he seems to get himself into? He recently got in a bit of a bind here with somewhat of a hit and run. Let me paint you the, that's the allegation anyway, I should say. Let me paint you what may be the most Barry Morphew scene imaginable. You're charged with first degree murder in the death of your wife. You've pleaded not guilty. You are living outside jail on a $3 million bond, wearing a GPS monitor, with your passport surrendered and your movement restricted. Your freedom is hanging by a very expensive court-supervised thread. Your one job is to become the most boring man in Colorado. Stop at every light. Carry your license, registration, and insurance like they are nuclear codes. Do not create so much as an awkward parking lot conversation, because understanding that you've been given the extraordinary privilege of awaiting a murder trial from home. Apparently, even that was too much to ask. Bum, bum, bum. Here is the legally important line, because as of September 3rd, 2026, Denver police had not publicly confirmed Barry Morphew as the driver or announced a criminal charge against him for the incident. The investigation remained ongoing, but the judge overseeing Barry's murder case wrote that the man in the video was very clearly Barry. Prosecutor said he was clearly visible and identifiable as the person who committed what they described as a hit and run. Those allegations still have to go through the legal process as of this recording, but you know, by the time you're hearing this, they might be further down. The consequences for Barry's bond have already begun. According to the court order, a driver reported that the man had been driving aggressively before striking two vehicles near East 8th Avenue and Colorado Boulevard in Denver on August 26. In the recorded encounter, the judge says the man identified as Barry refused to provide his name or identification. When asked whether he had insurance, he said, "No, I don't." He offered one driver $300 and she refused. He then appeared to rub scratches with his hand and his T-shirt off of the car. Don't take $300. In only the way Barry could. Some people, you know? It's just, you have one job, just stay out of trouble. And if somebody's like, insure, like, this isn't necessarily something that's going to get your bail revoked or anything either. I mean, these sort of things happen. You're like, shoot, okay, yeah, insurance. It's not, you're not committing a crime. What is committing a crime is spit shining the front of someone's car and speeding away when they're asking for your insurance. Barry, that part is the crime. Now, if you didn't know that, I don't know what to tell you, but it also makes me really start to wonder your judgment and your understanding of what other things might be considered crimes, like, I don't know, poisonous darts being used on things other than deer. That Barry, too, not encouraged. It is considered a crime. Maybe, I don't know if you didn't understand that, but it is. Oh, shoot. Now Barry's going to be like, I had no idea. Really? That's a crime? Well, that changes the whole context of everything you guys are talking about. No, I'm kidding. He still maintains his innocence. So I got to give him that without a doubt. And the first case against him, they had more than 1,000 problems with it. I am in no way, shape, or form saying this case doesn't have holes. It's horrible because obviously Suzanne Morphew lost her life. If this was a murder, you know, my God, yes, prosecute to the fullest extent of the law. But I swear to God, Barry Morphew has been a comical character to watch outside of the horror of what he's accused of doing. Let's go back to the scene when the woman said she was calling police. The court says he left, nearly struck another person and drove over a curb. It's on video. Who the F does that while wearing a GPS monitor on a $3 million murder bond? I think we know the answer. You're carrying an electronic device designed to tell the government where you are. You're driving a truck with a visible license plate. A person's recording you from a few feet away. Yet the apparent plan is to refuse identification, offer cash, buff the damage with a shirt, and leave when police are mentioned. This is not a criminal genius. This looks, in my opinion, like a serial fuck-up, repeatedly making delayed consequences for no consequences, or mistaking delayed consequences for no consequences. And that T-shirt may be the perfect metaphor for the Barry Morphew story. Something has happened. Damage is visible. Another person wants answers. There's a normal process to follow. The apparent Barry response is to make the problem smaller. Rub the surface, offer a private solution, and decide for everyone else when the matter is over. That is what reads as a little manipulative to me. Not a diagnosis, a behavior, an attempt to control the terms of accountability. I will decide what happened. I will decide what it is worth. I will decide what information you receive. I will decide when this ends. A collision can happen to anybody. The choice is afterward of the story. Refusing a name is a choice. Refusing identification, that's another choice. Refusing identification is certainly a big thing here. Offering cash instead of following the process is a choice. Leaving after police are mentioned, another big choice there. Prosecutors say those choices show a highlighted flight risk and a willingness to evade authorities. That is their argument, not yet a final judicial finding after a contested hearing, but it is one hell of an argument to hand them when your freedom depends on convincing a judge you can be trusted. Then there's the truck. The vehicle displayed Indiana license plate F397FR, a plate previously identified, surprise, in Barry's murder case records. Earlier, prosecutors alleged that plate reader data showed the same plate on two different vehicles. The judge has now ordered Barry to prove the truck and plate were properly registered in his name. So the man is allegedly refusing to give his name while a plate connected to his court record here hangs basically from the truck like a metallic business card. Not exactly Ocean's 11 here. The judge ordered Barry's GPS company to provide his current report and permission records. The order says the company missed the deadline, although Barry's earlier monthly reports had shown no violations. And both of those facts do matter. Again, a fender bender is not a crime. Running away from it is. Prosecutors also said Barry had sought an enormous work exception, 9 a.m. to 9 p.m., Monday through Sunday, all across Castle Rock, Denver, and Parker. The filing does not establish that every requested hour was approved. It does say he had broad latitude, that there appeared to be no meaningful way to verify he was ever actually at a specific job site. Just, he works every day from sunup to sundown. 7 days a week, 12 hours a day, three cities. Is that house arrest or a regional travel program with that ankle bracelet there, Barry? Prosecutors asked for no ordinary exception, specific verified work sites, regular GPS review, no driving, expanded restrictions, more money on the bond, and possibly complete revocation. After further investigation, Judge Amanda Hopkins immediately ordered Barry to remain inside his home at all times with no exceptions. In a medical emergency, he may call 911 and leave by ambulance. The judge explained that Barry had not yet been charged in Denver or found by a court to have committed any new felony yet. So revocation required the proper motion, notice, and hearing. That's due process. But until that process plays out, the message is brutally simple. Stay home. Now, the alleged traffic incident does not prove Barry obviously murdered Suzanne. It does not establish what happened in May of 2020. A jury has to decide that case from evidence connected to Suzanne's death. But this episode in the world of Barry Morphew's Curb Your Enthusiasm invites another look at the prosecution's theory and the pattern Barry's own conduct creates. Everything that follows comes from the 2025 indictment. It remains allegation and prosecution interpretation. Barry denies killing Suzanne. Barry described a healthy marriage. Okay. Well, Suzanne's own messages told a very different story. She told people she wanted a divorce and wrote Barry, "I'm done," adding that they needed to figure things out civilly. Prosecutors say Suzanne's last known message went out at 2:11 p.m. on May 9th, 2020. Barry's phone placed him home around 2:43, then powered off minutes later. Suzanne's ordinary electronic activity ended there. Her phone stopped connecting forever early the next morning, and Barry's phone went dark again minutes later. His truck also recorded driveway activity during a period when he said he was asleep, followed by an unusual gap in telematics. Well, he drove to Broomfield. Barry said he made an early work trip. An employee told investigators they had planned to travel later together. Prosecutors say Barry arrived without proper tools. The materials were not ready. He spent less than 30 minutes at the job site, made several stops at trash cans, and was in his hotel room when he initially suggested he was working. Suzanne's bike and helmet were found separately. The house was locked. Her vehicle remained in the garage. Investigators reported no sign of forced entry and no identified stranger tied to partial DNA profiles found in her vehicle. Investigators found a tranquilizer rifle and equipment in a locked garage, dart equipment in a locked garage safe, plus a needle cap in the dryer with men's shorts. Years later, testing of Suzanne's bone marrow detected the three compounds and the wildlife tranquilizer mixture known as BAM, along with a metabolite of one compound. Prosecutors say the metabolite supports their conclusion that the drug entered her body while she was alive. They also say Barry was the only identified private citizen in the surrounding area with documented access to BAM. Wildlife agencies had supplies, but reported none missing. Just Barry, allegedly. The coroner ruled Suzanne's death a homicide by unspecified means in the setting of BAM intoxication. Prosecutors also cite forensic evidence suggesting her remains may have been moved after decomposition. That is powerful circumstantial evidence. It's also disputed evidence. The defense can challenge the toxicology, the digital timeline, the conclusions about access, and every inference connecting Barry to Suzanne's death. Suspicion is not a verdict. The first murder case was dismissed without prejudice in 2022 after discovery failures and sanctions gutted the prosecution's expert case. That was not an acquittal, but a government failure. And Barry was entitled to a fair process the prosecutors failed to provide. Former District Attorney Linda Stanley was later disbarred in a separate disciplinary case involving ethical misconduct around the prosecution. Then there's the fact no one can call an allegation. Months after Suzanne disappeared, Barry submitted her ballot and later pled guilty to forgery of a government-issued document. The issue is agency. Suzanne was missing and unable to speak. Barry decided he knew what she wanted and acted in her name. That's why this new video hits a nerve. The alleged hit and run does not prove murder. The dismissal does not prove innocence. The indictment does not prove guilt. The narrower pattern is a man repeatedly behaving as though his judgment should determine when rules matter, what other people need, how much accountability is enough, and when the conversation is finished. That is entitlement. That is manipulation as behavior, not diagnosis. It's a catastrophic self-sabotage for someone trying to persuade a court that he can be trusted outside jail. Barry keeps appearing to treat temporary escape from consequences as proof that consequences do not exist, except reality's keeping records. The camera keeps recording after you decide the interaction is over. The plate remains visible after you refuse your name. The GPS keeps collecting data while you leave. The ballot preserves an act committed in someone else's name. The hotel camera records whether you were working. The phone logs when it powers down. The truck records when the data goes silent. And now the court has effectively said, fine, home is exactly where you will remain. Barry remains presumed innocent of Suzanne's murder and entitled to contest the Denver allegations. But that presumption does not require anyone to pretend the public record means nothing. According to the judge and prosecutors, when the man in that video confronted damage, identification, and police involvement, the response was not accountability, it was negotiation, then minimization, then departure. Barry Morphew may have spent years trying to control the narrative around him, but cameras do not negotiate. GPS records do not respond to charm. License plates do not accept $300, and consequences cannot be buffed out with an effing T-shirt. Your thoughts in the comments section on Substack and YouTube. Boom, boom, boom. It's like a murderous Larry David, allegedly. Your thoughts. And if you've not done so yet, take the podcast with you. Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you get it. The link is right there. QR code on the screen if you're watching us on YouTube. Scan it with your device, and please do press subscribe wherever you get podcasts. You can take us with you in the car, at the gym, wherever you listen to podcasts. Search Hidden Killers with Tony Brewski. All right, Substack, YouTube. We'll continue our conversations in those places. Until then, I am Tony Brewski, and we will talk again real soon.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Brewski and the Hidden Killers Podcast.